Amen. Heavenly Father, your love defends us. We thank you for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us when you hung on the cross. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending the Lord Jesus. You have loved us so much that you'd send the Lord Jesus that we might have life. And so we rejoice tonight, those of us who've gathered here as followers of Jesus. We come tonight and we celebrate life in Jesus. And we pray that as we gather to look at your word tonight and have fellowship in your word, that you might help us to hear what you have to say to us, and that we might take your word and that we might allow your word to shape and influence our minds and our thinking in a world of distractions. And so, Lord, today all of us bring our distractions and our worries and our cares, and here we come, and you know what's in our hearts. You know what's inside of our minds. We pray that tonight you would clear our minds for just a while, that you'd forgive us of our sins in word and action, and that you might help us to be prepared for the Holy Spirit to take the word of God and teach us. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us, that we might have life and joy. And we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the direction and guidance this living book gives to us. And we pray that you might help us to consume these words and live off of them today and every day. So, Lord, now we pause for a moment and we're still before you to recognize that you are God and you are supreme. Search us and know our hearts, and may we be pleasing in your sight, in our minds and in our thoughts. Help us to hear your word and to do it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, if you have your Bibles tonight, I'd like for you to go first of all tonight to the book of Hebrews. I did not give you any notes tonight. We're going to be moving in July to our time where all of our various ministries take a break and we'll all be gathered in here together. So I'll be speaking, Todd will be speaking, Ryan will share each Wednesday night. We're looking forward to that over the next few weeks. And then we'll dive back into a book of the Bible, still trying to pray through that and get some peace about what we ought to do. So we'll be talking about that in the days ahead, and we'll start that in August. But it's good to see all of you tonight. May the Lord bless you for being here, and I hope that whatever kind of day you've had, you've made it here tonight. And I want to talk to you tonight. Last week I talked about the little while, and some of you have made some comments to me about that, and I appreciate that. The little while of life. Tonight I want to talk to you about the better way. And you're going to have to do your own note-taking if you do it. Don't fuss at me because you want the outline. Sometimes you're just spoiled. You're spoiled people. You're spoiled. So you can take down whatever you want to. I'm not sharing my notes with you. That sounds like a little baby, doesn't it? It does, yeah. The reason why I'm doing it is I want you to hear me as much as, and I want you to go and interact with these verses I'm going to give you. I'm talking to you about the better way. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, which is our guidance as followers of Jesus, there are two ways. There's a broad way and there's a narrow way. Every person chooses which way they will go. Jesus says the foolish man builds his house on the what? On the what? And when the storms come, what happens? But those who hear and do his words are like a wise man who builds his house on. And when the rains and the troubles come, but notice it doesn't say, Jesus does not say, if the rains come. I'm looking at all of you, you're looking at me, when the rains and storms of life come. The person who has heard God's word and heard the Lord Jesus' words and obeyed them, their house is on the rock and it stands. The word of God talks about light and darkness. If we walk in the light, John says, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. But then we come to an enormous principle found all through the word of God, and tonight I'm just going to highlight it in a couple of places. We find that there are two ways of life. There is the what the world would consider life in its normal way, and there is a better way of life. Jesus talked about the abundant life that flows out of us. So I want to talk to you tonight about the better way. Hebrews chapter 8, we read these words. Now the main point in what has been said is this: we have such a high priest who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister in the sanctuary and in the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, not man. For every high priest, this is the Old Testament now, every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices, so it is necessary that this high priest also have something to offer. Now, if he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all, since there are those who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things, just as Moses was warned by God when he was about to erect the tabernacle. For see, God says, that you make all things according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain. But now he, that is the Lord Jesus, our high priest, he has obtained a more excellent ministry by as much as he, the Lord Jesus, is also the mediator, and here's the word, of a better covenant, which has been enacted on better promises. So the Lord Jesus, in his role as our great high priest, ascended to heaven, King of kings, Lord of lords, and he is now our great high priest. When you come to pray, you approach the throne of grace and you approach our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest. And we're able to do so because the old law is gone. The old agreement and covenant is gone. The old Mosaic law has been fulfilled by the Lord Jesus. And now he has obtained a more excellent. There is the interesting thing. I don't have time to develop this as I wish to do. But in the book of Hebrews, these two words, these two Greek words, the word for excellence and the word for better, are not the same word, but they are very familiar and they go together many times. And the book of Hebrews is all about showing the superiority, the excellence, if I can use this word, the betterness of the Lord Jesus and the new covenant and our great high priest and what we have as followers of Jesus than those who are under the old law. I want you to hear it again. The Lord Jesus has obtained a more excellent ministry by as much as he is also the mediator. He's the one who put together between God and man, the one between a holy God and sinful man. He is the mediator of a better covenant. So now you tonight, the better way begins when you understand that when you come to know Jesus, you now live under a better agreement between yourself and God, with better promises based on the red letter words of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 19, I'm going to read beginning at verse 18, break into this, for he is attested of him, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. For on the one hand, there is a setting aside of the former commandment because its weakness and uselessness, for the law made nothing perfect. And on the other hand, there is a bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. No one could draw near to God bringing an animal and sacrificing it, handing it over to a priest, and a priest on their behalf going in before God. But now, there's a better way. We forget it. When you pause to pray, you pray because you're a part of a better way if you know Jesus Christ, based on better promises, and you have better hope. We don't live under the hopelessness of the Mosaic law. You have to keep bringing your animals. Hope you've got a lot of them, because you got a lot of sin. Hope you got a lot of animals. You got a lot of sin. The blood has to flow. The sacrifices have to be made. I read it to you again. For the law made nothing perfect. Hebrews 7:19, and on the other hand, there is a bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. For they, verse 21, became priests without an oath, but he with an oath through the one who said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are priests forever." Now pay attention, verse 22. So much more also Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. Now I could spend a lot of time here, but I'm starting by saying this to you. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you now live a better way. But not everyone in this world lives by the better way. Lots of people still live by the broad way, by the self-centered way, by the arrogant, proud way, by the self-sufficient way. So tonight I want you to understand the better way. This better way that we experience by knowing Jesus Christ gives us better hope. Jesus is the guarantee of the better way. Listen, once you're on the better way, you never lose the opportunity to be on the better way. Oh, sometimes we slip, we fall, we sin. But the good news is, on the better way, have you ever heard this? If we confess our sin. Are you listening to me tonight? The better way says this: if you confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness for His name's sake. So we can celebrate the better way. The better way begins with our relationship with Jesus Christ. But I must ask you to turn also to 1 Peter for another view of the better way. And this one's not going to be as easy for us to take tonight. There's not a day that goes by in my life as a pastor where the phone doesn't ring or the text doesn't come. Adam, that baby is not bothering one person but you. Quit worrying about that baby. Let that baby cry if that baby needs to cry. Not one day that somebody doesn't have trouble. Some of you are sitting here and you think, I'm not in any trouble. Well, you may have just come out of it, or you're getting ready to go into it. I'm not trying to discourage you, but I'm not going to lie to you. And following the Lord Jesus Christ and the better way, you'd think the better way would mean no suffering, no troubles, no pain, no sorrow. But we read in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17, For it is better if God should will it so that you suffer for doing what is right rather than for doing what is wrong. It is better. In the better way, full of better hope, because our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. The Lord Jesus is the guarantee of the better way, and we have better promises, and we have a better covenant agreement with God. Now we have peace with God. And I didn't read it, but the Jeremiah 31 covenant, the new covenant, is that where God puts, He writes His word in our hearts. We now have a new covenant relationship with God. But I want you to hear me, dear church, my friends. When trouble comes, for it is better. It is better. Nobody wants to hear that it's better. And the world certainly will never believe that. So tonight I want to give you nine. I'm going to take you back to the book of Proverbs. We're going to use the book of Proverbs. And a number of years ago I spoke on some of these things. So for some of you who are like my grandfather, who date in your Bible when your preacher preaches on a certain verse, I'm coming back now to some verses that I have gone over before. Okay? But as I have said to my grandfather, and I would say to you, you probably need to read them more than one time. Why can we sing songs over and over, but we think the preacher hadn't prepared if he preaches on the same verse? It may be you didn't hear it very good. I'm just joking. Y'all are looking at me like you're mad at me. I love you. I love you. Just been doing this a long time. So what does the book of Proverbs tell us? You know, the book of Proverbs helps us to know that there are two ways. We've talked about this many times. Started in the book of Proverbs in 15, 16, 17. We did it for 3 years on Wednesday nights. Half the year. And then we did the book of Psalms for 3 years. We learned as we studied the book of Proverbs that the book of Proverbs teaches us about a righteous way of living on this earth. And there are nine very important characteristics of the better way, the way of righteousness, that I want to give you. And I'll give them to you slowly and you can look them up. You won't have time to look at all the details. I'll make a few comments, but I want to go through these nine because I want to attach them to what we've just said. Peter says, it is better, for it is better if God should will it so that you should suffer for doing right. Paul says that we are saved by the death of Christ and obtained a better covenant agreement with God under better promises, better hope, and Jesus is the guarantee of a better covenant. So how do we live the better way? What characterizes the better way? That's what the book of Proverbs helps put. You see, the book of Proverbs puts flesh on righteous living. And you know, a lot of us in this room, by the way, did you know you're all older today than you've ever been? Did you know that? Tell your neighbor right now, you're older than you've ever been. Go ahead. I told my friend Darrell that. He said, you know, I've never thought about it. I said, well, you're old, man. You're old, Darrell. The reason why I say that is because when we talk about the Word of God, what's great about God's Word is it's alive and it's good for me today, a day older than I was yesterday. But I have to go to God's Word each day. And for some of us, we haven't gone to God's Word in a long time. And that's why you're weak. That's why you're fearful. That's why you're hateful. That's why you're living in the miserable condition you're in. God never intended for you to live that way. He intended for you to live the better way. And that's tied to consuming God's Word daily and being serious about your spiritual life. Church is not just a social club to have fun. Number one, it is better to live in obscurity than self-promotion. That's the first point. Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 9. Proverbs chapter 12, 9. Now in the book of Proverbs, beginning in chapter 12 through about chapter 18, we have these contrasts. The book of Proverbs is built on these couplets, these contrasts. One thing against another. Better than. That means one thing's better, one thing's worse. So we read it. It is better to live without, to live in obscurity than self-promotion. Proverbs 12, 9. Better is he who is lightly esteemed and has a servant. That is, he has some means. He has workers. He has something to show. Than he who honors himself and lacks bread. Jesus said in Luke 11:18, when he was talking about two men who were praying, he said one man stood up front, hands raised to heaven, and he said, Luke 11:18, God, I thank you that I am not like all other people. Have you ever prayed like that or thought that in your prayers? Be careful. That's praying like a Pharisee. Swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. Self-promotion is a mark of the old way, not the better way. Self-promotion is a dangerous path. Jesus said in Luke 14:11, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. While you're there, Proverbs 13:7 says, there is one who pretends to be rich but has nothing, and another pretends to be poor but has great wealth. I hope that tonight you have learned that the better way is not about recognition. You know, I've been around doing church work a long time, and I'm grateful for every volunteer who serves in our church. I'm grateful. But sometimes the complaint comes that I'm not appreciated. But the Lord appreciates you. We do what we do for the Lord, not for recognition. Well, I'm not going back to that church. I've heard this said in my ministry. Because I'm not appreciated. May I read it again? Better is he who is lightly esteemed and has a servant than he who honors himself and lacks bread. I wish I could say more. Number two, it is better to be content than rich with troubles. Proverbs 15:16 is where we'll start. Proverbs 15:16. By the way, those of you who have children and grandchildren, why don't you read the book of Proverbs to your children and your grandchildren, unless you think they know it already? The first nine chapters are a guide. Proverbs 1 through 9, chapters 1 through, are a guide for young men and young women on how to live and understand a righteous life. If I was rearing my children again, I'd spend more time with my kids in the book of Proverbs. I grew up with a father who put a proverb on the refrigerator every day. And I always went in there and told my sisters, hey, Dad put something on the refrigerator for you to read. You got it, didn't you, Tom? That's good. You got it. That's good. Proverbs 15:16. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and turmoil without it. Better is a dish of vegetables where love is than a fattened ox served with hatred.
Here's your food.
16:8. Better is a little with righteousness than great income with injustice. 17:1. Better is a dry morsel and quietness with it. A dry morsel, a piece of toast, may I put it in our language, than a house full of feasting with strife. For us as Americans, we live in a world of plenty. Our missionaries from our own church who have gone, they have been, Gerald Burgess mentioned this to us a couple of weeks ago in the missions report, how watching and seeing and observing how the Cuban people live with so little had such an impact upon him. We forget, though we all have disparities in our money and our salaries, we are a rich people. The American church is a rich church. 1 Peter chapter 6, verse 9 says, let me go back and read. Godliness, verse 6, is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. You want real gain in your life? Godliness plus contentment. Godliness, righteousness, what we're talking about, the better way. Righteous, holy living plus contentment. No, you don't want to be like them. You don't want to be like that. You don't want to have this. You don't want to have that. Contentment, settledness, acceptance of your condition. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we can take nothing out of it either. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. But those who want to get rich, 1 Timothy 6:9, fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge men into ruin and destruction. The love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. And some by longing for it, money, longing for money, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves through with many griefs. Number one, it is better to live in obscurity than self-recognition. What you do for the Lord, you do because you do it for the Lord as His servant. You remember what Jesus said to us in the Sermon on the Mount? When you give, don't let your right hand know what your left is doing. You should have your own secrecy. When you do your alms, no trumpet blowing, no bragging. Third, it is better to gain wisdom than to gain riches. Proverbs 16:16, how much better it is to get wisdom than gold. And to get understanding is to be chosen above silver. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 10, you can jot it down. You can flip there if you have fast fingers. Proverbs 8, 10, take my instruction. Proverbs chapter 8 is wisdom speaking to us. It's the wisdom of God speaking to us in the book of Proverbs. What would God's wisdom like to say to all of us? One of the things wisdom says to us, verse 10, take my instruction. And not silver, and knowledge rather than choicest gold. For wisdom is better than jewels. And all desirable things cannot compare with her. Number one, it is better to live in obscurity than self-recognition. It is better to be content than rich with troubles. Number three, it is better to gain wisdom than to gain riches. Fourth, it is better to have honorable friends than proud friends. 16:19, it is better to be humble in spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. How would you describe your friends? What kind of friends do you have? It's better, the Word of God says, to be humble in spirit with the lowly. not dividing the spoil with the proud. Proverbs 29:23 also says to us that a humble spirit will obtain honor. You see, honor comes with humility, and honorable friends are humble people. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34 says, and it's quoted by Peter and by James later, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you at the proper time. You see, the Lord gives grace to the humble. It is better to have honorable friends who are humble friends than to surround ourselves with proud friends. You know what proud people want? Self-recognition, self-centeredness. Listen to them talk. The proud talk about me, myself, and I, mine, my, I. The proud talk about how they're so easily offended. The proud talk about how they do not forgive, and they live with cynicism and condemnation toward others, and especially those whom they believe not to be as good as they are. It is better to have honorable friends filled with humility and proud friends. Next, it is better to be patient in spirit than impatient and strong. Are you a patient person? Don't answer that out loud. You may be sitting with your wife or husband. Pretty good, wasn't it, Tom? Proverbs 16:32, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Now we have some strong people in our church, strong men, mighty men, young men. And I always tell them when they're trying to tell me how strong they are, yeah, one day you'll have arthritis just like me. You'll be creeping around, you'll be having to get you some rub and put on your knees all like the rest of us who are old. You know what I've always already said to you as a church. Some of you choir people aren't in here. You don't get this every week, so let me give you some of my comments. When you're getting old, number one, buy a big bottle of ibuprofen, get you an ice pack and a heating pad, and it's going to be good. Now, I've saved you a lot of money. Give it in your tithe. How's that? He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit. See, if you're slow in anger, you control your spirit. And oh, by the way, when you know the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within you, and you have self-control. You say no to things. You say no to those emotions that you used to allow to dominate you. He who rules his spirit is better than the conqueror of a city. How are you doing in patience of spirit and ruling your spirit? A man's discretion makes him slow to anger, Proverbs 19:11. James chapter 1, verse 19, you need to mark it. I'll just read it for the sake of time. This you know, my beloved brethren. Are you listening tonight? This you know, my beloved brethren. I know who I'm talking to on Wednesday night. This you know, my beloved brethren. Everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Let me review. Number one, it is better to live in obscurity than self-promotion. Number two, it is better to be content with a little than rich with trouble. It's better to gain wisdom than gain riches. It's better to have honorable friends than proud friends. It's better to be patient in spirit than impatient and strong. Next, it is better to live in integrity than in foolishness. Chapter 19, verse 1. Better is a poor man who walks in his integrity. Pastor Mike, I don't have much of this world, but you can have integrity. Say what you say. Remember what Jesus said? Let your yes be yes and your no, no. That's the measure of integrity. Integrity is not measuring yourself against someone else to see if you're better than them. in your word. Integrity is measuring yourself against the Lord Jesus. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We measure ourselves against Jesus. I don't measure myself against you. You don't measure yourself against me. We don't measure against one. We measure ourselves against the Lord Jesus, the sound and clear mark of integrity. Character of integrity comes in the Lord Jesus. So we live with integrity. Proverbs 19:22. What is desirable in a man in his kindness? What is desirable in a man is his kindness. And it is better to be poor. It is better to be a poor man than a liar. Integrity. Yes. No. Yes. No. What is desirable in a man and a woman who lives the better way? Kindness. I say it to you all the time. Be kind to everybody. You may not know it. This room's filled with it. This church is filled with it. Everybody's having a hard time. They just haven't told you. Proverbs 14:2, he who walks in his uprightness fears the Lord, but he who is devious in his ways despises him. That's integrity. You walk in the uprightness of your heart and you fear the Lord. Proverbs 10:9, he who walks in integrity walks securely. You don't fall into pits. You don't fall into traps when you walk with integrity. It's the better way. The better way is a life lived without recognition, self-recognition. The better way is contentment. The better way is gaining wisdom. The better way is honorable friends and living in humility. The better way is being patient in spirit. The better way is living in integrity. Next, the better way is to have favor rather than wealth. Proverbs 22:1. A good name is to be more desired than great wealth. Favor is better than your bank account. So tonight, the better way is enjoying the favor of God. Aren't you glad that Jesus died so that we can have a way to God and you can have favor with God? Can anybody say amen to that? Aren't you glad? Jesus found favor with God and man. This is the Jesus way. So do you find favor with others? I didn't say, are you trying to get them to be pleased with you? I'm asking, have you been blessed with the favor of God and the favor of others? It is such a blessing. I want you to read with me Proverbs 3. I want to read these especially. I'm watching my time. Proverbs 3, beginning in verse number 3. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Okay, listen. Are you listening tonight? The better way. Pastor Mike, how do I live the better way? I'm trying to be as practical as I can tonight, friends. Listen to what the Lord's saying to us. Here's something you can never leave behind in your life. Don't leave this behind. Listen. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. You need them both. Bind them around your neck. Kindness and truth. Write them on the tablet of your heart, kindness and truth. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Then we're willing to read, trust in the Lord with all your heart. See, those are the words coming before those great famous verses that many of us quote. Oh, my friends, tonight, the better way is a way filled with kindness and truth. and the favor of God. 1 Peter chapter 2:20, Peter says in talking about our suffering, if when you do what is right and suffer for it patiently, enduring it, listen, this finds favor with God. How does He show His favor to us in our suffering? When we do what is right and we suffer and we patiently endure it. We don't gripe and complain. God, why? 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 What have I done? How much? How come? Why? No. We've done what is right, and suffering comes, and the rain comes, and the trouble comes, and we patiently endure it, and God is pleased when we live like that. Finally, the better way is to have a close friend nearby rather than a family far away. Proverbs 27:10. Do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend. And do not go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor who is near than a brother far away. I must remind this church tonight that not everybody lives within a 2-square-mile radius of all your family. That's not true for everybody in our church. Most of our ministry life, Pat and I have never had the privilege of living around our children. I'm not complaining. So what does the Lord do when you don't have your family? If you have your family, you're blessed, but be careful. The Word of God tells us family and trusted friends are important. What do we learn to do in church? Hopefully we learn in church how to meet those who become closer than a brother. Real friends. In all the years when I would come to these verses, I want to remind you tonight, some of you have a long trusted friend. Listen to the Word of God. Don't forsake your friend. Have you forsaken your friend? For some reason, something's come between you and your trusted friend. I'm talking about, we're not going to do it tonight, but the book of Proverbs gives us a rich, rich understanding of friendship. And I ask you tonight, have you forsaken your own friend, your own friend? And by the way, you usually don't have a lot of friends. You have a few trusted, tried friends. Do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend. How about your father's friends? If you've been around your family, how about the friends of your family, the friends your father or your mother trusted? Have you forsaken them? Oh, they're just so old-fashioned. They're just old. Who wants to be around those old people? You probably need to be. Why would the Word of God say, everybody always asks me, do not go to your brother's house in the day of calamity? You see, there's a contrast being made here. It's not that you don't go to your brother, but this is the picture of the verse is about a trusted friend, not about your family. In the day of your calamity, better is a neighbor who is near than a brother who is far away. See, this is the picture. Calamity is going to come. And a whole lot of us didn't have a brother to go to. And sometimes in calamity, when you go to your brother or your sister, you get a lot of yeah, 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 and self-centered and critique and evaluation. And let me just say this to you as I close and I'm finishing. And these words, I'm trying to be your pastor tonight. I love you in Jesus. I truly love you. I'm weighing all these words, but I want you to hear me. We come to this place because this is a place where we gather and learn how to walk with people who are honorable friends, who learn to trust the Lord like we do and are trusted friends. They keep a secret. They don't gossip. They don't lie. They don't distort the truth. You find those trusted, godly, honorable friends. And I want you to hear me on this. The reason why the Word of God says don't forsake your own friend, if other things are better new, a friend is better that is old and tested. For though blood relations should be the closest bond, selfishness will often predominate. May I remind you, Joseph found greater kindness among foreigners than his family. Jonathan's love for David was far better than anything he received from his own family. And I finish with this. One trusted and tested friend close by and ready to assist is better than a brother or sister as far off in affection as in distance. The better way is to live without recognition and self-promotion. The better way is to be content rather than rich with trouble. The better way is to gain wisdom rather than riches. The better way is to have honorable friends rather than proud friends. The better way is to be patient in spirit rather than mighty and strong. It is better to live in integrity. It is better to have favor with God and man. And it is better to have a friend close by than family far away. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God, a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. We thank you for the better hope. We thank you for the better way. We thank you for the better promises guaranteed by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and His blood. Lord Jesus, great high priest, we honor you. We come to you and to the throne of grace tonight to find help in time of need. And we all have need tonight. Show your mercy. Show your grace. May we live the way you have planned it for us and purposed us, the better way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all. Good to see you. Hope to see you Sunday. Say hello to one of your trusted friends before you go.